we are now going to move sports and we're going to head to Formula One because Derek Henning, I will be honest, Derek Henning of P1 Predict, by the way, is joining me as always on this Sunday afternoon. And Dara, I'm keeping a very close eye on a race that's on right now, in fact. We'll go to Formula One, but just wanted to mention, I have managed to get my hands on the IndyCar Series website, which sees James Rowe currently in third and not a million miles off the top two guys. I know we'll go into it in more detail later, but I just wanted to tell you that 35 laps. The Grand Prix of Alabama has been on for just a couple of minutes now. So that's some good news from an Irish perspective. But now let's go to what's been happening. Five rounds down in the Formula One World Championship, and while it's Verstappen all the way in many respects, there's a few interesting little stories behind him.
Absolutely, John. There's been a lot more off-track drama this year than there has been on-track. I suppose we'll start with the big stories that have cropped up over the last five races. The big one, I guess, that everyone has been talking about, and the one that we're still feeling the ripple effects of, it's the Christian Horner scandal. Not only has that impacted his own career and his family, but there's the knockdown effect of this. The whole team seems to be quite unsettled at the moment. And this could impact the dominance that they are currently having on the sport. We have to see just this week, Adrian Newey, the best dynamicist, aerodynamicist that there is on that Formula One grid, has announced he is leaving the team at the end of this year. And one of the reasons stated for that, one of the alleged reasons is he's not a fan of how things are unsettled in the team because of this Christian Horner scandal. Another thing that we keep hearing about, and I hear every time we hear about the offer that's been sent for Verstappen's way from Mercedes, the number gets bigger. At the moment, I believe Toto Wolff has mentioned a figure of 150 million euro in an effort to sway Verstappen to Mercedes. Now, last year, this would have been unheard of and not something that could have been conceived at all. But with Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari, there is a seat and an opening in Mercedes, and they want a good driver. So Verstappen is obviously, like, there is a very high chance that Toto Wolff is just turning the knife at the moment with no intentions of luring him in. But 150 million is quite a large offer. Now, if we have a look at the conversation that has been happening around that situation over the last few weeks and months. One of the things Verstappen has said that if Helmut Marko goes, that he would go. And one of the things Toto Wolff has said that he would be happy to take Helmut Marko in as well. So that makes things rather interesting in that sense. Now, that's provided a lot of off-track drama. Lewis going to Ferrari, that was another shock that a lot of people didn't see that happened earlier on. And then just this week, may not have been a shock to a lot of people, but Nico Hülkenberg has been announced as part of the Sauber/Audi lineup for next year, which is massive news for him. I think he really deserves it. He's had a fantastic season. He's been one of my standout drivers so far this year. Since he's come back last year, he's just been so consistent. Himself and Magnussen have been a pretty good team, despite the car beneath them not being up to scratch last year. They have made some good strides this year. So Nico's gone to Sauber for next year, and Audi will be coming in. We still don't know who is lining up alongside him. A couple of other things, I guess, more on-track news that we've seen over the last five races. One of the standout moments for me was Ollie Bearman. This young 18-year-old stepping in at the last second in Saudi Arabia when Carlos Sainz had to go and get his appendix removed. He came from his own F2 qualifying session that weekend, jumped into a Ferrari, into an F1 car, and I think he managed to finish seventh in that race, which is absolutely incredible. That's what one of the standout things. And that's really done him a lot of favours this year too. So now that there's a seat going in Haas, and Haas are one of the... They're well connected to Ferrari in that Ferrari do provide engines for Haas. So I think part of that agreement is sometimes a Ferrari junior will get a Haas seat. Bearman is in contention for that. And a lot of people say that that's almost a done deal. So we could very well see Ollie Bearman in Formula One next year in a Haas. Now, Haas themselves on track are actually doing an awful lot better than everybody expected, and it seemed to be including themselves. Now, a lot of people have said that they reckon that they were just downplaying that, that they knew all along that the car was a lot stronger than last year. But there's been a big jump from the performances last year. And when you consider that the team principal, Gunther Steiner, of course, a lot of people will know him from Drive to Survive. He was one of the standout characters in that. He left just before the season started. So a lot of people thought that might have unsettled the team, but in fact, they're doing incredibly well. As I mentioned, Nico Hulkenberg doing fantastic in that car. And Kevin Magnussen as well, playing the team player or being the team player, has helped Hulkenberg score points along the way as well. One of the most notable, maybe controversial for some people, in Saudi Arabia, Magnussen managed to back up the pack, ensuring that Hulkenberg finished in the points. Another team that are doing quite well, McLaren. Now, they have been building up since last year. Last year at Bahrain, it looked miserable for McLaren. They slowly got their thing together. They got the car right. Two fantastic drivers. And at the end of last year, they were really hitting their stride. Thankfully, they've started off really well again. This year, both drivers have finished in the points in all five races. And they look to be going strong. Now, I'll discuss later on about why I think that's important. Another on-track bit of drama, I guess, was the whole Williams chassis issue. So we did see in Japan that Albon crashed his car, writes off the chassis, and they have to ask Sargeant to give up a seat. So this has kind of caused a lot of uncertainty for Williams. There's a lot of nervousness about the fact that they still don't have a spare chassis. They were able to put the other one back together and repair it, but they still don't have a spare one. I'm not 100% sure what the timelines are on that, but that makes for some nervy racing. Now, unfortunately for Logan Sargeant, he hasn't come out of that unscathed. He didn't crash the car to start with, but he did have to give up his seat, which is a clear intention from the team about where he sits in that hierarchy. Albon is, without a doubt, the better driver. Last year, he was by far the better driver, scored points consistently despite that car not really being a top 10 finisher. And now there are rumours, and they are rumours right now, that there's discussion around Logan Sargeant being replaced after the next Grand Prix in Miami by Kimi Antonelli. Now, Kimi Antonelli is one of these kind of one of the young drivers that the F1 teams have their eyes on. That he's been touted as the next Verstappen, and he is a Mercedes junior driver. He's in F2 at the moment. He actually drives on the same team as Ollie Bearman. They both drive for Prima, and both of them are touted to be in F1 next year. Now, there are multiple ways in for Kimi. One of them would be directly into the Mercedes seat that's been left vacant by Hamilton, and the other would be through Williams, who, of course, have ties to Mercedes. Now, that isn't confirmed. It's a rumour at the moment, but a lot of people, there's a lot of weight to it in the fact that they want Kimi to get as much time as possible in an F1 car before the start of next season. They also, the rumours behind them coming into F1 next year also carry a lot of weight because next year will be the last year that these cars drive with the current regulations. So it's kind of a write-off year for the likes of Mercedes. They can afford to put a young driver in there and see what happens because the regulations will change in 2026. So all of the teams will be starting from pretty much a level playing field. Obviously, some of them will have a head start depending on when they can stop the development of the current cars. Now, Alonso, another track, maybe this is a bit on, a bit off track. Alonso has signed an extension at Aston Martin and he's going to be there for another 2 years, which means that we may not see a change in the lineup at Aston Martin, despite there being talk and discussions around Carlos Sainz potentially driving alongside Alonso. Now, the thing is, we don't know what's going to happen with the likes of Lance Stroll. He's on a rolling contract, but while his father owns the team, it's very unlikely that he's going to be replaced. Now, I mentioned the significance of McLaren doing well. So I don't know if anyone follows me on TikTok, you're going to see that I put out during the week. I think the battle for P1 in the constructors is already over. I firmly believe Red Bull looked too strong. Perez has got his game together this year. And Max Verstappen has been faultless so far. I think they've sewn it up already. I know there's another 19 races or so left, but I cannot see Red Bull giving it up.
Is it a bit
I believe
shame?
There are two battles that we need to watch.
Sorry, John? Yeah, no, I'm just wondering, is it a bit of a shame? Excuse me. It's a bit of a shame that, you know, that it seems to be a done deal already after just five races. And you know, I suppose the big fear that the FIA or whoever runs Formula One, that they would have is that people would just kind of go, well, what's the point of watching it if this is the way it's kind of, you know, could we see anything happen to change things in the next couple of races, do you think?
I don't think we'll see anything to change this year. I think the only thing that could unsettle this is probably Red Bull self-destructing from within. I don't see anything on track. Max Verstappen is too consistent. And that's what a complaint to have, that we're seeing a driver that is so incredibly consistent that he's unbeatable at the moment. In that car, he is unbeatable. But that team is unsettled. We don't know where he's going to be next year. We do know that Adrian Newey won't be at Red Bull. Adrian Newey is the reason that Red Bull's car is as good as it is this year in the current regulations. He won't be it won't be influential at all in the design of the 2026 car. So while this season I don't think we'll see much of a battle for P1, we will see a battle for P2. I don't think Ferrari are going to have an easy ride. McLaren are catching up. McLaren have two fantastic drivers that are both driving as teammates. Okay, they drive for each other, but obviously, I mean, Formula One, it's quite a selfish team sport. Both drivers want to be the best, but I see McLaren work pretty well together. Ferrari, on the other hand, while both drivers do get along very well, Sainz is on the way out at the end of the year, and he has a point to prove. Now, we did see in China, they came together during the sprint race. They are battling hard here. So what I'm predicting here is that we are going to see a really close battle for P2, and I would keep an eye on that Ferrari-McLaren battle. And we're also going to see a very close battle for P4. Aston Martin and Mercedes, I think both of them are on a pretty level playing field this year. Despite Aston Martin having a fantastic start last year and looking really strong, they did dip towards the end of the year, and Mercedes have come up a little bit, and they're starting to meet in the middle now. So while P1 in the constructors is probably sewn up, we do have these battles a bit further back. And we're also seeing the likes of Haas and RB battling out. Now, they're not as interesting they're further back in the pack, but like, it has given us some great racing. Yuki Tsunoda, I'll mention him, has been fantastic so far this year. Not a great weekend in China, I will say. He was out-qualified by his teammate, and neither of the cars ended up finishing the race, but he has been consistent so far, and we've seen that he was consistently overtaking cars in places that we're not expecting to see overtakes in the Japanese Grand Prix. So keep an eye out for
Okay, there.
That's going to make it interesting. Go for it.
Oh yeah, sorry, we lost you for a split second there, but actually we'll move on to what we can really, really look forward to now. And I mean, poor Logan Sargeant, my heart is going out to him. He just seems to be the luckiest man ever to get into a racing car. Let's look at the P1 stats. First of all, the first five, very interesting regarding qualifying. The race picks, no major surprises regarding DNFs, but it's quite fun, actually, looking at how people have predicted the different drivers for the different races.
Absolutely. It's really interesting. Obviously, we'll break it down into qualifying and the race picks. So I've broken, when you use the P1 app, for qualifying, you pick your top five in the order that you think they'll finish. So if we look at who has been picked the most for P1, so pole position, it's going to be absolutely no surprise to anyone. It's Max Verstappen. And he is picked 78% of the time. Now, the most picked driver for P2, and I don't think this is much of a surprise either, considering he's in the same car, is Sergio Perez. 22% of all P2 votes or predictions are for Sergio Perez. P3, I do find quite interesting in that it's Charles Leclerc. And I find it interesting because he has been out-qualified by his teammate more often than not during the year. P4 then, 18% of the time, Lewis Hamilton is picked. And I also find that very interesting because Lewis Hamilton has also been out-qualified by his own teammate. And I think the number is 4-1. So 4 times out of the last 5 races, George Russell has out-qualified Lewis. But people still pick Lewis. I mean, he is a fantastic driver, obviously, 7 world titles, but he's not performing this year. And P5, the most picked driver there so far this year has been Carlos Sainz. Now, that's one that I will keep an eye on over the year, because Carlos Sainz, for me, I mean, I don't know if he's underrated anymore, but I don't think he is as highly rated as he should be. He's had a fantastic season so far, considering that he had his appendix taken out at one stage and came back the following race and won it. Race picks, again, no surprises. For the race picks, when you use the P1 app, it's first 5 drivers in the order you think they'll finish. We also predict the fastest lap and the first car to DNF. Like you said, unfortunately, there have been no surprises. 20% of people normally vote for Logan Sargeant to DNF first. So for anyone that's wondering, DNF means did not finish or does not finish. And that means they'll either crash out or they'll have a mechanical failure. But however it goes, the car does not finish the race. Logan Sargeant gets picked 20% of the time. The next nearest driver after that was Lance Stroll at 9%. So Logan Sargeant, unfortunately, is out there on his own. Now, P1 for the race, again, not a surprise. 82% of the time, it's Max Verstappen that gets picked. P2, no surprise again, Sergio Perez in there at 29%. P3 is Charles Leclerc, very similar to the qualifying. And interestingly enough, Lewis Hamilton gets picked most for P4 and P5. So again, despite the fact that he is out-qualified and out-raced by his own teammate all year so far, he is still getting picked above him for our predictions. So look, anyone using the app, this is probably a chance now to start looking at these head-to-head battles and seeing whether you are putting your predictions in the right place. Very, very interesting when you start to look at it like this.
Yeah, well, let's move on because I want to get to the updates on the Irish drivers. By the way, I want to talk about James Rowe. He's currently racing in Alabama, an Irish lad who drives for Andretti in the Indy Next Series. And he's not doing too badly. He's third, actually, in that Grand Prix of Alabama at the moment. But the other story, and this is the one that is, I find it interesting, slightly sad, actually, if I say so. Brendan McGaughan, a man who's done so well, but it could be his last weekend in GB4.
Absolutely. So Brendan has had an extraordinary introduction to the Slicks and Wings category. This is his first year in this series. This is his first year driving a car like this. And that in the first weekend, he qualified first for two races. He won one of them and came third in the other one. He didn't actually get to participate in the third race. I'm not quite sure or not certain what the reasons were surrounding that, but he did incredibly well. Now, what we find out is between that race and this current race weekend, they're in Silverstone this weekend, I find out that he is only contracted for the first two race weekends, and after that, there is no certainty about whether he will continue to drive for the team he does or whether he'll continue to drive at all in the GB4 Championship. Now, I find that, like you said, that is incredibly sad. We're seeing this young Irish driver, obviously, doesn't have the same financial backing as some of the other drivers in there. Like, some of the drivers in there are touted for, I think I've mentioned this before, some of the F1 feeder series. So the F1 Academy would have drivers in there. So there's a lot of high quality drivers here, and Brendan is absolutely up there with them. So they had a race over the weekend, this weekend in Silverstone, and he finished sixth in the first race. Now, at the moment, Brendan is sitting fourth in the championship, and he's not a million miles off the top three at all. So the second race was supposed to start today at 11 a.m. Now, unfortunately, there's been a lot of weather issues over in Silverstone. So as the last I checked, we still, and I'll just check in again, we still don't have a start time for that race. It could be this evening, or it could be pushed out to tomorrow. But I am watching really closely. Now, what I don't want to see happening and what concerns me is that we could have another Tommy Byrne on our hands here. Incredible talent, but just doesn't have the financial backing to be able to secure a seat in these speeder series. So keeping an eye, absolutely wishing Brendan the best of luck today and tomorrow when we hope that his talent is spotted and that he does get a drive for the rest of the season in that GB4 Championship.
Now, we want to move on. We mentioned James Rowe. He's still third, by the way, in that Grand Prix of Alabama. So he's holding his own in the Indy next series. Before we go, I want to talk about Monaco Grand Prix weekend and a decent reaction to our piece last week.
Absolutely. So we have had people register their interest via the website. So last week I mentioned it's p1predict.com/events. That's the letter P, the number one, predict, predict.com/events. Like we mentioned last week, it's for the Monaco Grand Prix. It's going to be an all-day event. We have some really interesting activities. We're about to launch and finalize some of those details. We're really close to finalizing the venue, and I am incredibly excited about this. I think we found the perfect place to do it. We're excited to work with them. They're excited to work with us. I would love to be able to mention who it is right now, but we're working out some of the finer details with that. Next week, it should be all done and dusted, hopefully, and we'll get things going. But it's going to be an incredible day. We'll have the race on a big screen. We're going to have a quiz, an F1 team quiz afterwards. We could be seeing an Ollie Turner involved with that too. So there's a lot of things that we are really looking forward to talking about soon. But for anyone that is interested, do get over and register your interest. You know, anyone that does will be the first to hear about when the tickets are actually released, and the tickets are first come, first serve for anyone interested in that. So we've got a fantastic day lined up. We've got some great prizes on the day and some fantastic sponsors on the way as well. So really, really excited for that.
Can't wait to see the announcement or hear the announcement next Sunday, all going well, or Saturday. Just actually out of next up in the Formula One calendar, where are they heading to?
We're going to Miami, over to the States for the first race of the season over there. And this is going to be interesting as well because it's another sprint weekend. We are looking at a completely different set of times. For the last few weeks, they've been very early. This is a later race. So we're going to see the sprint qualifying kick off on the 3rd of May at 9:30 Irish time. And then the race on Sunday, the 5th of May, at 9:00 Irish time. So there'll be no getting up early for me that weekend. I'm going to be able to sleep in, and I might have to stay up just a little bit past my bedtime then.
Yeah, well, listen, it's going to be worth it for 9:00. So next Sunday, we will be previewing that. Dara Canning of P1 Predict, really appreciate it. Can't wait to hear the announcement next week, by the way, regarding the venue and all the finer details of that Monaco Grand Prix event. But for now, I'll leave it there. Thanks for joining me.
Cheers, John. Thank you.